둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Living the dream here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the series. You know what to do. You like what you hear, what you see, hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists, discover those new ones. You can find us anywhere you get your podcast from. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. We've had some fantastic guests on lately, including Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains, Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, actor Thomas Lennon, you know him as, Dangle from Reno 911 in The State, among his many movies, Colin Greenwood of Radiohead Was Here, Dexter and Noodles from The Offspring, Brian Ferry from Roxy Music, the cast of the Netflix movie It's What's Inside, Troy Sanders from Mastodon, Vernon Reed of Living Color, St. Vincent, James Bay, Natasha Rothwell from How to Die Alone on Hulu, Dave Perner from Soul Asylum, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, the 1,000th episode. It's finally here. 1,000 of these episodes. It's more than 1,000 interviews because some of the early episodes, I used to do three interviews per episode. That kind of, we changed that through the years. But episode-wise, here we are, 1,000. And I wanted to make it really special for you. I gave up a ring to a couple of fellas that's been on the show before. One's named Les Claypool. You know him as the lead singer of Primus. In fact, this is his fifth or sixth time on the show. And the other one making his return, Maynard James Keenan of Tool, of A Perfect Circle, of Pussifer. They're both touring together. They did earlier this year, and they're going to more on next year, what they call the Sasanta Tour. And it's A Perfect Circle and Pussifer and Primus, and they're all on stage at the same time playing on each other's shows. It's a heck of a set list, and it was a great reason for all of us to jump on here together, which is what we got to do. We got to talk about their ongoing collaboration and friendship, and of course, the Sasanta Tour. It's a lot of laughs, this whole interview. It's mostly them cutting up and me just trying to not seem like the nerd that's just laughing at everything they say, but you can't help it because it's all funny. Of course, I've got to ask some questions here and there, and I think they expected that part, so you know, that's, we're all on the same page on that one. But we hear about thwarting bank robberies and wrestling bears. We take it back to their first meeting in 1993 at Lollapalooza. We do get serious, talk about the challenges of blending their distinctive styles while playing in each other's songs during these live shows. I'm going to ask less about some of the albums that we've talked about in the recent past that still haven't found their way out, including the next Claypool Lennon Delirium with Sean Lennon and an album he was doing with Billy Strings. We'll ask Maynard what's up next for him as well. And I want to talk about their personas and characters that they seem to portray. I want to talk about their vocal techniques, and we'll get some really fun candid stories along the way as well. So let's go ahead and do this. KMW 1000. It's the 1000th episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool and Maynard James Keenan.
Aloha.
Are we wearing hats? What are we doing here? Hang on.
Are we wearing hats?
Actually, I got the note. I'm at my office today. Didn't
get the fucking memo.
What happened to your wrist there?
Oh, man. There was a bank robbery in progress.
Yeah, you tackled him. Gave him the old tip.
Also a kidnapping, but like a separate on the same day. And here's the thing, thwarted both, but the word hero is being tossed around. And I just, unless there's a check involved in that, I don't really see any reason to be called a hero without.
Like someone from Czechoslovakia, you mean?
Yes.
Well, look at this. I got an injury too.
Were you thwarting a crime?
I was wrestling a bear, wrestling the old Grizz up at the old Grizz shack.
Oh, wow.
Nah, I was looking for nuggets and just overexerted myself in the nugget search for nuggets.
Oh.
I don't know. It's old guy. It's all old guy shit.
This is exactly what I was hoping for. You guys can just take this over.
You don't want
Thank you both for being here. Seriously, 1,000 episodes in. Les, I think this is the sixth time that you have been on my series. Maynard, the second time for you. And the great thing is, you all made it easy because you've been touring together this year and just announced more dates next year, 2025. The Sasanta tour. I hope I'm saying Sasanta right. So I don't know. Let's start back from the start. I don't know which one of you guys want to take this. I'd love to know how far your all's friendship goes back. Like, what's your meet cute?
Meet cute? What the hell is meet cute?
What the fuck did he just say? Well, it was Lollapalooza, and there was a message board, which is kind of like Tinder of 1993.
Was that a message board?
Yeah, like little sticky notes after the show. You just put a sticky note up that says, Les, meet me in my bus.
Yeah, the notes weren't actually sticky until afterwards. They were just regular pieces of paper, and then they became sticky notes.
We invented post-its in a way, but a whole new level.
Yeah, it's a whole new level. It's a code, which we're letting you in on, sticky notes.
It is so funny that that's not been so long ago that, of course, when you said message board, like there were internet message boards around at the time. And I couldn't put it together in my head that you guys were on Lollapalooza, but still on your respective computers. Although, Maynard, and you and I talked about this, I know last time with my friends in Love Jones, Barry Thomas, he said you were the first person to ever show him the internet. So I do know that you were at least logged in to some degree back then.
Yeah, I gotta be careful what I say because I don't know what I showed him.
What could you have showed him in 1993 or whatever? It's not like there were a lot of websites at that point.
I didn't even have a computer in 93.
Letter drawing of a vagina. Like, you know, like this, like it's a, they map it out on the page and it's like, that looks like that could be anything, but it was trying to be a vagina.
It's like a light bright.
That's I still masturbate to those.
I hope that's true. Why would I hope that's true? I hope that's true.
Why would I lie?
Why would you lie?
I don't know.
Like, is there like the friendship again, especially when I think about where you both came from musically, because, you know, for the eye rolling that alternative was at the time, I feel like both of you all truly were sort of alternative artists with as much, you know, importance, or at least to some degree, some importance on comedy as music?
Well, I mean, back then, alternative meant the alternative to what was popular. So we were all alternative as far as like us and the Tools and the Soundgardens and the, you know, Fishbones. And it was the alternative to all the hairball bands and whatnot that were dominating the airwaves. So it's the terminology changed more than the initial definition. Am I correct in saying that?
I agree with you.
Do you was there a musical overlap for you guys when you met?
We were both into the Monkees. I remember telling Maynard his voice reminded me of Mickey Dolenz.
Is that true?
We're gonna go with yeah. We're gonna just go with yes.
Well, I did say that.
I mean, I remember it because I was probably on acid.
I don't remember the acid.
Well, it's because you know, hanging out with Lane Staley, you couldn't pick up a drink anywhere near you without it having, so you had to be really careful.
I feel like with everything that's being said today, I have to follow it with, is that really true? like, it's just fun thinking of, you know, where you all came from and how you've sort of navigated your both of your careers. And that's really what I'm getting to here, because what, and I can't even just name one band, all the projects that you all do have such a unique imprints that putting this tour together, I don't know whose idea it was, but it seems like this was something that could have been thought, you know, a million years ago, and it still would have worked. I mean, where did the idea of the Sesanta tour come from?
Well, I think it was, I was trying to get my 50th birthday together, and I was looking to kind of just gather a bunch of people in LA to play, and I tried to describe what I had in mind to many of the local bands that I'm involved in and are friends with, and they all looked at me like I was fucking crazy. So I had to default back to people like, you know, Failure and Perfect Circle and Pussifer, who two of which are me, because if I'm crazy, well then I can get along with me. And then we added the fourth crazy, which is Primus for this run. Initially it was Failure.
And you're all three bands on stage all the time, more or less. Like, I love the videos I've seen, because they're like, if you're not playing, you're still just kind of sitting there or walking around. Or just like,
the only thing we were going to try to add this tour was a pond out behind the stage so Les could get some fishing in while he's waiting to come back out.
I love this. This is a surprise to me. I'm very excited.
It might be a very small pond.
It's more of a goldfish bowl. Yes,
with like a magnet.
With a magnet and chewing gum.
Just the little chompers on that little game.
Like, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool and Maynard James Keenan.
The promo vids going out, Maynard. Who is this character in the promo vids that you've created?
It's me at 40.
Oh, so just like 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, or 70, you know, either way. Vote for me. Yeah, I just try to use some old makeup, and it's just me stammering.
That goes the thing, though. It's like, and I think we've talked about this a little bit too, and Les, maybe you can talk about this. It's like, do you all think of what you're doing as playing characters?
I mean, for me, my whole singing career started as, and for many years, it was me doing nothing but playing characters, because I was so not confident in my vocals that I would just take on all these characters, pretend I was Mel Blanc, for lack of a better explanation. And it wasn't until the early 2000s and doing the Oyster Head and working with Sean Lennon and whatnot that I actually became comfortable with my voice. But I still enjoy stepping into characters. It just makes it easier for me. And I think it's a better performance. And I've always been attracted to like a lot of country music and a lot of folk music that tells some sort of tale, you know, whether it's John Henry or Amos Moses. Those songs made me listen a little harder, and so I wrote these songs with these characters and subsequently became the characters because I didn't know.
You're still on stage even on this tour, like when you don the mask, like I don't know if that's just being an entertainer or if that's still taking that moment to sort of step outside of yourself.
You know, the masks have just become such a staple over the years. It's like anything else. That's the wonderful thing about being able to go do any shows, whether it's Sesanta or Primus shows or Frog Brigade shows, is to me, it's like you know, I get to have Halloween multiple days a year, whether it's me putting on something or seeing people in the audience. You know, lately we've had all these bananas in the audience. I love it. You know, we've got all these bananas running around the audience. And I just think it's the greatest. It makes me happy and inspires me to step up a notch, you know, on stage. So
what is it the same for you, Maynard? Because when you talk about, you know, your three bands, it's the same thing. I wonder if it's character, but maybe also it's more of just being able to use a different voice.
It's a different voice, but it's also, you know, as Les had said, it stems initially from an insecurity of just being able to, you know, express yourself and having some kind of something to hide behind a little bit while you're trying to figure out who the fuck you are on that stage. So, you know, then it just kind of becomes a thing you do, because you end up finding that, you know, you know, we're trying to work some shit out, you know, as musicians or artists, but we're also up there to entertain. So I think it helps to put the costume on to remind myself I'm there to entertain and not just work through some weird daddy issues.
With this tour and you being sort of front and center, which I know, you know, with Tool and a Perfect Circle, you know, you tend to sort of be to the side and the back. Like, how has that changed, you know, what you do and how you present yourself?
But, with Pussifer, I'm always down in front. A lot of that is just logistics for sound, like having all those amps and Danny's octopus drums and, you know, Justin's massive bass. To be down in front of the mix for the front of house is almost impossible. So being up near the drums and behind the guitar amps actually ends up helping, just from a technical standpoint, to separate sound. And, you know, it's such a big show, like, we're only talking about an extra 6 or 8 feet, so I'm not sure what the big deal is.
It's all presentation.
It's presentation, and it's also just technical logistics of making sure that we have to remember we're here to, like, make sure it sounds good. So I'll do whatever, you know, I'll do it, and we need to do to make it sound good.
Wait, could you actually talk more about what we were talking about, the voices there? Because with each band, again, it's different styles of music, you know, within rock or whatever, but what does that mean in the different styles of, like technically, actually what you're doing with your vocals?
Who, Les?
I was still talking to you.
Oh shit. Well, I mean, you know, it's pretty simple. It's different conversations with different people. So, you know, if Matt's coming at you with a synclavier and some amazing programmable, you know, synths, and, you know, then you're coming, then another band is coming at you with old rock and roll, like, four on the just crazy amps and drums, it's different conversations because you're having to navigate, you know, a different set of sounds. So naturally, as a vocalist, you're going to end up trying to find your way, unless you're just, you know, some front man that just, you're going to be the front man the same way no matter what, which is also cool for some people, but not for me. I kind of like to morph a little bit.
Does it work the same way with you, Les? Is it actually different vocal techniques with your different acts?
I mean, it just depends. It's more song to song than it is act to act, I think.
Yeah.
You know, when you're playing with someone like Shiner, Sean Lennon, who's got this amazing voice, and I'm just trying to keep up with that guy. You know, but actually, if anything, he's just there laying some silky smooth sauce on my, you know, rough chunk of meat or whatever metaphor you want to use. Boy, I kind of floundered on that one.
We're back to the message board.
Yes, back to the message board. So it's like anything else. Like I've said many times, it's the musical conversation, and like Maynard just said, it's about the conversation. When you're talking to somebody, well, we're talking to you right now differently than I'm going to talk to my buddy Tim Soya, who's about to walk in the room at any moment now, you know, because we have a different dynamic and a different history and blah, 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 blah. And that's the way you move through life, interacting with human beings socially, and it's the same way musically.
When you guys are on stage then on this tour, like, have you noticed, especially playing on each other's songs, like, you've heard each other's music, you know, throughout the years, but actually getting to dig into each other's songs, is it a specific challenge? Is one band's music harder to play than any of the others, or different in a way you didn't expect?
Yeah, I think it's because I think always you kind of have to look at it if you're guessing on something. Although the band's there playing it, you're almost in your mind, you're kind of like feeling like you're doing a cover song, right? It's never going to be yours. So really being conscious about when the actual band is playing on stage, making sure that you're fitting in with what they're doing. It's almost like an extra conscious effort to be a piece of it rather than stand on top of it.
I just think the greatest thing of all of this we've done in the whole Sasanta thing and Sasanta Plus or whatever the next version 2.0 is watching Maynard the Cat being Maynard the Cat. Especially the first several attempts.
Oh man, that was a disaster.
But it was a glorious, it wasn't a disaster, it was glorious. It was glorious. It was, you know, it was like Buzz Lightyear would say, falling gracefully.
I've never laughed through my own train wreck harder than the first three or four shows.
Oh, it was amazing.
I think that's what fans are hoping for a little bit. Like I like seeing I was watching, like somebody shot the end of the Red Rocks show where the amps had blown out and you guys were just vamping for what seemed like forever.
Oh, you think it seemed like forever for you?
Still going on. I fucking night right now.
I mean, that's the work stress dream right there, isn't it? That's the work stress dream that I think we've all had. But that's like nobody.
But it was amazing.
Yeah, right. Nobody blew up.
So many people at our VIPs and whatnot at our shows say, "Oh my God, the Red Rocks thing, the end of Red Rocks was unbelievable. It was incredible." Because, you know, it shows that we're human and it shows that, you know, it's not just this scripted thing and that we can go off the rails a bit and come back and not just completely crash and burn. And people love that shit. You know, I remember years ago seeing Peter Gabriel choke, it was a security tour, and him and Tony Levin choked this one part of the song, and it's the only thing I remember from the show. I mean, it was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen, but that's the thing that stuck out the most to me, is that they did this little, they went off the rails, and Peter's like, "That's what you call spontaneous improvisation, or what commonly known as a fuck up." And I remember him saying that and going, "Oh my God, I saw Peter Gabriel fuck up on stage." So it's to me, it just shows that we're human.
And especially, I mean, you guys, whether you've meant to cultivate it or not, like there is this beautiful mystery in your artistry. And I say that as someone who enjoys that type of thing. Everywhere I said, I think Bowie's over my shoulder in every one of my little shots. And, you know, there was always this great mystery. He was a dude, of course. You guys are just dudes. But I like when artists sort of let that mystery still exist. And then for these moments also to be open when you can just fuck up on stage. Like you know, I'm not the first person who's asked this, but how you all feel about the perception that people have about, you know, your bands.
I'm thinking of becoming an influencer.
Is that true?
No.
I'm going to become an outfluencer.
I'm thinking of becoming an affluent.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Les Claypool and Maynard James Keenan.
How often do you all drink each other's wine?
On the road all the time.
Yeah, I crushed his champagne about a week ago.
I don't think I knew you had champagne too, Les.
Oh, yes, you know.
The pachydermy.
Yeah, we have champagne from Champagne. It's actual champagne. It's not sparkling wine.
Real champagne.
It's my wife's thing. She loves bubbles, and so she wanted to do a champagne project, and we did, and I actually very much enjoy it.
Fantastic.
The champagne from Champagne, I get that. I mean, I'm in Louisville, so it's, you know, the bourbon specifically from a very specific place that becomes important. But do you all, like, I know around here, especially when they're, you know, the barreling with the bourbon, like, there's a few different places that will use music to inject into the barrel. I don't know if, does it make a difference? Do either of you all do that?
I mean, there's music being played on the crush pad, and it just varies. It depends on who's working and who's doing what, but there's nothing specific that we play to the barrels.
Well, we definitely play. So here you have the, what fruit come in, what, you know, what date it was, what all the numbers are, how many tons, but then there's the soundtrack of
what we play when that wine is being processed. So those, that soundtrack goes on the tasting notes.
So, and I mean this, like, what's the difference that you can tell when you do Devo versus Gillian Welch?
The biggest difference is when you pour for somebody and you show them the tasting notes card, they go, oh, cool, you played Devo when you made this? And that's about as far as it goes. You can't, it's not going to change the wine. If I could tell you that it does. I think it's a better story if I say, oh, absolutely. The Sangiovese that I played the Pretenders for is far more rough around the edges than the Kraftwerk Sangiovese.
So you're basically saying it's sort of like the candy Skittles, where some people say that they can taste the different colors until the company says there's absolutely no difference in the taste of any of those colors.
That's because I hang around Lane Staley too long.
It all comes back around every time. Are you guys going to do another Sasana EP?
I think we kind of ran out of time on doing that, but I don't think it's out of the question. I'm definitely going to approach everybody to see if they want to do something in the future. Us, any ideas?
I this is all just falling into my lap. I hadn't really thought about it, to be honest with you. But I'm always up for a good time.
Ain't nothing but a good time. Les, I also, the last few times we've talked, you have talked about several projects that it has still yet to see the light of day. You mentioned Sean, your buddy Shiner there, and the next Claypool Lennon, and Billy Strings, I think you had been mentioned. Like, are either of those getting any closer?
Well, my daughter's getting married, not this weekend, but next weekend, and Shiner's coming out for the wedding, and we're supposed to get together after the fact and finish this damn Delirium record we've been chipping away at for a couple years. So that's in the works. Billy, him and I got about halfway done with the record and just both got really busy, especially him. You know, I mean, look at, the guy's taking over the world. So
yeah, every 3 minutes I see something on the feed, him like taking over a small country.
Yeah. He's riding a wave right now. And he's busy and I'm busy. So we'll get back to it at some point. I gotta say though, I had an amazing weekend. I didn't mean to, it just kind of fell together, but I went to you remember Stuart Ross, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Went to Stuart Ross's house and he had Puddles the Clown there and Eric Idle and Weird Al Yankovic and Peter Asher. And we had like an acoustic jam all evening. It was amazing. It was unbelievable.
Did you lose my fucking number? What happened?
Yep. Lost your number. But yeah.
It's still gone.
There is photo evidence. I've seen the picture is circulating of you all standing around. I'd actually forgot about that.
It was incredible. And of course me, because I'm not real bright, is I'm sitting there talking to Eric Idle about, because I just watched The Ruddles recently, which I hadn't seen in 30 years, and it was unbelievable. And I was talking to him just about the sonic dimension of the songs and the production of them and how they sound incredible. It sounds like the Beatles. And I'm sitting there talking about Jeff Emerick and blah, 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 you know, spouting away. And all of a sudden, this guy at the end of the table goes, yeah, I knew Jeff Emerick. And he chimed in a bit. And I was like, wow. And I didn't realize. And Eric looks at me and goes, that's Peter Asher. And I'm like, holy shit. So I got caught, you know, what do you call it? I was showboating a little bit. And then the real guy said, well, let me tell you, Sonny boy. So. But it was epic. It was an epic evening. And then I got to go to Magic Castle 2 days later. That was incredible. You been to Magic Castle, Maynard?
Not yet.
It's amazing.
I've heard good things.
I had a good weekend.
Les, do you have a nickname for Maynard?
Oh, boy.
I don't think I do. I always just called him Schmaynard. But no, I don't think so.
Huh.
It's coming, though. It's a coming.
I'll wait.
There's like, you know, there's our secret nickname that I only use when we're spooning. But I just can't divulge that one right now.
On the message boards.
Yeah, I can't. That's personal stuff. You're getting a little too personal.
Maynard, can I ask what's next for you on the musical release front?
Well, you know, I'm always working on stuff. So it all ends up being, you know, a race to see who's going to step up and dig in and make it a priority in their lives. So, yeah, I'm always working on stuff, but it's all a matter of the other guys making it a priority and setting a deadline.
Well, I'm always ready to receive for any of this stuff. Seriously, I can't thank the both of you enough. Honestly, I really do mean how I feel about both of your bands. I say both of your bands, all of the bands from both of you, if that makes sense. So thanks so much for taking the time, and I look forward to seeing you guys back out on that tour and whatever hijinks come along with it.
Sir.
The old hijinks. All right, farewell, farewell.
Peace.
And that's it. My thanks to Les and Maynard, and of course to you for sticking around and checking out this 1,000th episode. Maybe it's the first time you've heard any of my interviews, in which case you have 999 other ones to make your way through to catch up. Take your time. We'll wait. In the meantime, though, make sure you do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I continue to put out. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, anywhere you get your podcast from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Again, please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from The Band, The Cult, Supergrass, Kristen Hirsch, Hold, Toadies, Madonna, Logic 1000, Joan Osborne, Liana Lajavis, Father John Misty, The Cure, The Jesus and Mary Chain, The Smile, and my interview with Akon as we talk about the 20th anniversary of his breakthrough debut album as well. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Do we get a prize for that, or some sort of like bobblehead or gum?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.